Living in the Kingdom is our series title. Now, Jesus has invited us to come into a kingdom. Now, the thing that I've always struggled with here is trying to tell people that the kingdom is a present entity. It's something that we can come into right now. You know, most people are still waiting on the 7-year tribulation and all this stuff to happen. But there's a kingdom right now that you and I can come into. It came when Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he brought his kingdom because he's the king of this kingdom that we're talking about. And he's invited us in. And there's a mountain that we ascend into this kingdom. And this is the portrait that we're trying to express to you. And today's lesson is called Seeking First This Kingdom. Seeking First the Kingdom of God. And it's towards, we're about to finish, we're getting to close to the last chapter. And so we're finishing up chapter 6 today. But he wants us to come and seek this kingdom first. Now, the thing that he shows us and the thing that I want us to see here today is that seeking first the kingdom is his antidote for worry. The solution for worry is seeking first his kingdom. If you are worrying about something, if there's something that's bothering you, the fixing it, the way to fix it, the solution, the antidote for fixing whatever it is that's got you, that's mastering you, that's holding your brain and your mind right now, the way you're going to fix that is by seeking first his kingdom. This is, you know, theologically it's interesting because he ties this passage up with a therefore. He begins this section with a therefore. And always look at what's the therefore, therefore. And this section, he's just talked about treasures in heaven. Remember, he talked about treasures in heaven. He said, wherever your treasure is, there what? Your heart is also. And he says, you can't have two masters. You can't serve God and mammon, right? You're going to hate one and go to the other one. And so this thing's going on here. And then after he says you can't serve God and mammon, and he talks about treasures, and he says how those things block us from entering his kingdom, what he comes into here, and he says, therefore. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. And you be ready for me, but I'm just going to go ahead and start right now. And what he says to us there is, in this passage that we're looking at today, he gives us three things about worry. He mentions the word worry three times. Now, how many of you have ever worried about something? I mean, it's just captured your brain. You know, come on, get your hand up. If you've ever worried, be with me. Huh? Okay, good. Then this should be a relevant message, right? This should be relevant. How many think you might ever worry again? Huh? How many find it's easier to worry than not worry? It is, isn't it? Isn't that true? It's easier to worry than it is to not worry. Well, Jesus is telling us how to fix this and how to address this problem that we all have. We have anxiety attacks. Worry causes our blood pressure to go up, right? It makes us sick. Psychosomatic things that we have to think about and have anxiety about actually affect our body and make us sick. So what Jesus is trying to do is help us. So three times here in this passage, he talks about worry. Chapter 6, verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. What part about do not worry do we not understand? Do not worry. And then verse 31, he says, so do not worry. And then in verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry. How many thinks he's pretty serious here and he doesn't want us to worry? Jesus does not want us worrying. But it's easier to worry than it is to not worry. You know, we're always worrying about something. We're worrying about money. Anybody ever worried about money? Yeah, one, two. Yeah, okay. How about that crazy spouse? That crazy spouse ever caused you to worry? Yeah, there you go. Now I got you. How about those goofy kids, huh? Yeah. See, there's a job. There's always something to worry about, and we worry about everything. There's always something that's got our brain. And what this happens is it stops us from expressing and enjoying the kingdom of God. Worry stops us, and this is why Jesus addresses worry. The reason that he addresses worry is because worry stops us from seeking the kingdom. Worry stops us from enjoying the things of the kingdom of heaven. Worry keeps us out of the kingdom. It's impossible, hear me, it's impossible to have an anxiety attack and minister spiritually. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve worry and serve God. You've got to be able to deal with this thing. And so what Jesus is trying to do is help us. And his antidote is to seek first the kingdom of God. That's his solution. So let's read verse 25 together. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. There's not much left, is there? Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what your what's going to maintain your existence. Don't worry about your shelter, your clothing. Don't worry about your body, your health. Don't worry. How many think you might be able to do this? Nobody's. See, this is why he has to teach it, because he has to tell us, listen, you got to work at this. You got to ascend to this level. We're going to get to the end of the section, and he talks about if you do worry about stuff, and if you do allow this stuff to capture you and hold you, you're no different than the pagans. You're no different than lost people if you allow these things to control you. He says, what we've got to be able to do is come to the place where we don't worry. So, why does he address it? To keep us from to help us understand those things that keep us out of the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me make sure we say this. He said, don't worry about food, clothing, things. But we understand, don't we, that there's nothing wrong with things. Do we understand that? Listen, there's nothing wrong. Did Jesus dress nicely? How nicely did he dress? Has anybody ever gambled for your clothes? Huh? Has anybody ever really wanted your clothes? Probably not. But his was so nice. His were so nice that they gambled for them at the cross. You know, he had to have a little bit of money, don't you think? I mean, he took care of these 12 guys for 3.5 years. Took a little money to do that. Jesus had money. He liked to stay at nice places. He liked to stay at his friends' nice houses. There's nothing wrong with nice houses. There's nothing wrong with nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with nice things. In fact, God says, I want to give them to you. So there's nothing wrong with these things. It's when these things have us that the problem. It's when these things cause us to start worrying. It's when we start worrying about our money, or we start worrying about our houses, or we start worrying about our clothes, or we start worrying about our body, that it becomes a problem. So he gives us these elements of worry. There are three of them. He says, there's food. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about your survival. He says, don't worry about your body, your health, and don't worry about your clothing, shelter, things. So those are the elements that he's talking about. So I want to talk about these three things quickly. He says, first of all, don't worry about food and drink. Matthew 6:26 says this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? How many of you think you might be more valuable than a bird? Huh? Anybody? Nobody? Everybody? Okay, good. Listen, there are millions, billions, trillions. How many birds do you think there are? Have you ever saw one have an anxiety attack? Huh? Have you ever saw a bird with high blood pressure? Huh? And this is his illustration. Listen, they don't even sow or reap. And they live happy lives. They just fly around. But we got to worry about stuff. We can sow and reap, and a lot of times that causes us to worry. He says, listen, be like a bird. Now, is he telling us to be lazy? No. Birds get up early. They go to work. Come on. Finding food, yeah. They plan for the future, yeah. Instinctively, many will fly south in the cold, hard months of winter. Yeah. They build nests. Houses for their babies. See, so it's not that he's saying, you know, just fly and float through life like nothing you need to. No. He said, but don't worry about stuff. Don't let stuff control you and stop you from functioning in his kingdom. Don't let these things hinder you from going into the kingdom of God. You know? Now, there's a story I want to tell you. It's about a widow woman. She'd been faithful to God all of her life, a widow woman. Had a neighbor, though, who was far from God. The old neighbor was mean. And so the woman was always saying, I just thank God for all he's done for me. And the widow and the old mean neighbor would say, that's not God. God's not helping you. So one day she said, I'm going to show her that's not God. So she went to the store and bought groceries for the old widow woman and put them on her doorstep. Well, of course, the old widow woman opened her door, found the groceries laying there, sitting there on the step. She says, "Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord." And the old mean neighbor comes over there and she says, "Uh-huh. See, God didn't do that. See, I told you it wasn't God. People are doing that stuff for you. I put those groceries there. I bought those groceries and put them there." The woman looked up to heaven and says, "Thank you, Jesus. You not only provided for me, but you made the devil pay for it." And I want you to know that. Listen, God will not only provide for you, but if He has to, He'll make the devil pay for it. He is going to take care of us. I really want you to know that God will take care of us. He still has His recipe for manna from heaven. Come on, somebody. All we got to do is follow the cloud around. If we just keep following that cloud, He'll start sending manna to us. Am I right? He still knows how to tell the ravens to come and feed you at the brook. If you just waited for Him at the brook, He'll send you ravens to feed you like He did Elijah. Come on, He knows how to take a little oil and a little cruse and a little flour and make that extend if you'll just receive His ministry into your home. Am I good here? He can still take fishes and loaves and multiply them as long as you're seeking first His kingdom. These people have been following Him around, listening to His teaching, wanting to be close to Jesus. And He looked at them and they were hungry. And He said, "Let's feed them." Listen, if we're seeking His kingdom, if we're trusting God, not worrying about stuff, but allowing ourselves to enter His kingdom, He will take care of you, even if He has to make the devil pay for it. Now listen, we're not to worry. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to seek the kingdom. Now I want to kind of emphasize what that really means. Okay. I want to hit each one of these, but I want to hit it a little bit right now. Okay, are we supposed to worry about our health? Are we supposed to? That's not a trick question. Are we supposed to? But do we? Yeah. Sure. You know, you can't help it sometimes. What should we do then? Well, the Bible says, and I'm going to talk this and get more into it in just a second, but the Bible says that we're supposed to speak to that mountain and command that mountain to move. If you're sick in your body, you need to speak to that sickness. You need to tell that thing to get off of you. If we're having trouble with our finances and we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven because we're worried about our finances, listen, if that's keeping you out of the kingdom of heaven and enjoying righteousness, peace, enjoying the Holy Ghost and causing you anxiety, you've got to learn how to talk to that thing and how to seek the kingdom concerning it. I want to talk about each one of these things. But there is a kingdom of heaven that we can enter right now, and in that kingdom are all the answers that you will ever need. That's why we're supposed to seek it. Then He talked about the body and health. He said in Matthew 6:27, He says, "Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" In fact, now think about that. In fact, what will worry do to your life? Will it shorten it or lengthen it? Sure it will. You see, we got to understand that. If worrying about your health, if worrying about your body, if worrying about a disease you have, if you allow that to control you, it will shorten your life, not lengthen it. I want to read you this from the Hormone Foundation and the Endocrine Society, I guess is how you would say that. Some information that I found as I was studying this out. I'll read this to you. Stress can cause or worsen some of our most common killers, like cancer, heart disease, cerebrovascular brain disease. Cerebrovascular is brain disease, okay? And it is also directly related to other common disorders such as irritable bowel syndrome, impotence, and depression. How about that? In addition, the stress of illnesses, and this is the part, in addition, the stress of illnesses itself can hinder recovery from almost any disease. So, worrying won't help you get well. But it's easier to worry than it is not to worry, especially when you're really sick. So we start worrying. Now, the antidote is seeking first the kingdom. The antidote, the fix, is to seek first the kingdom. You got to learn to move that sickness. You got to learn how to talk to it. Yeah, Jesus used this dumb illustration one day to his disciples. He said, listen, if you just got a little faith and you really believe this stuff, then you can speak to the mountain and the mountain must obey you. Did he not? And we've got to learn how to speak to that sickness. And we've got to learn to tell that sickness what God said. We've got to learn to say that sickness is to that sickness, listen, by His stripes I am healed. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Am I right? By His stripes I'm healed. We got to learn what the Bible says. In John 3 says this, it is God's will. It's God's. He wants us to prosper and be in good health. See? He still knows how to heal us. What we need to do is, if we're sick, what we need to do is get some baptized, Holy Ghost-filled people that can lay hands on us and cause us to recover. That's what the, is that not what the Scriptures say? You can lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. We've got to learn how to do these things, and we've got to understand that's what Jesus did. When Jesus found a sick person, He would lay His hands on them, and they would recover. Or He would speak to that thing, and it would have to leave. We need to get the elders of the church, help me somebody, to do what? Anoint you with oil. And if you've got sin that's causing it, it'll be forgiven. That's what the Bible says. And God will raise you up. These are things that we do in the kingdom. When we're seeking the kingdom, it's not like we're seeking this thing that we really can't grasp or get a hold of. When we're seeking the kingdom of God, here are the things that we do. You understand that? It always amazes me when people get sick. They don't get prayed for. I want to tell you the story. It's a true story. Person's here today. I got a phone call from a person who had been diagnosed with cancer. And it was serious. I went and prayed for him at the hospital. Did the surgery. Well, that afternoon, I got a phone call back. And the spouse of the person said, oh, it's bad. It's bad. He gave us a bad report. You know, it doesn't look good at all. And I think they began planning the funeral. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. That's not God's will for your life. I have prayed for you. Others have prayed for you. You've been anointed with oil. Listen, I speak to that cancer and I command it to die and dry up in the name of Jesus Christ. You get down there Sunday if you can, whenever you can, and you get anointed with oil and you keep coming until you're healed. And this person began to do that. This person began to seek the kingdom. This person began to seek God and began to receive that. And I said, it is not your time yet. I know God, it's not your time yet. This is not going to happen. You're going to live and not die. Well, lo and behold, the person is free from cancer. Come on, yeah. There is no cancer in her body. She feels better and is more active today than she's been in a long, long, long time. Now listen, that's seeking first the kingdom. It's just doing what the king said do. What does the king say to do? Then do it. And that's seeking first his kingdom. It always amazes me. It just amazes me when people are sick and I know they're sick and they don't come down for prayer. They don't get people to pray for them. You know, so sometimes I'll go and I'll say, listen, you know, I know you're sick. Why didn't you come down? Why didn't you come down? Well, I did that once. How many times did Laban have to dunk? See, you remember Laban? Laban had leprosy. And he went to the man of God. The man of God says, you go to the Jordan and you dunk 7 times. See, you don't get it sometimes the first time. You got to go until you get it. Come on, the woman, remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember her? She pressed, she kept pressing, she kept pushing through that crowd until she finally got her healing. When there's sickness in our bodies, when things are causing us to worry, what we have got to learn how to do is seek the kingdom. Seek the king. What does he say do here? Well, then let's do it, and it's supposed to work. It's about that simple. I know that sounds, you know, we think this supernatural, goofy spirit thing. No. Get down here. We'll put oil on you, you'll get well. See, there's this aspect of seeking the kingdom of God. You remember the guy who was paralytic? They called him he had palsy. He was paralyzed, and he got his buddies. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. You know, people get sick, and I got to stay home today. No. Please get somebody to bring him. Please come to church. You know, and so they're sick, and so he said, I want you guys to take me to Jesus. And so they took him to Peter's house, and the crowd was so big they had to climb up on top of the house on the roof. And remember the story? And they tore a hole in the roof and lowered the guy down in front of Jesus, and he got healed. Listen. Don't let anything stop you from getting your healing. You tear a roof off a house if you have to, but you get to where you can get healed. And that's what seeking the kingdom first really means. It's not this hokey pokey screwy thing. Listen, you do what the king said do, and it'll happen. It's going to happen. So, what about another one? He says in Matthew 6:28, he says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Now look at this. I want you to notice this OU of little faith. Is that a statement or a question or what's that? Oh, you have little faith. What's Jesus doing here? Is this a question? Have you ever noticed that before? See, he's asking a question. Where's your faith? Oh, you have little faith. He talks about lilies in the field and flowers and how beautiful they are, how God created them to be beautiful, how they adorn the countryside. But yet, one flower can outdress the best dresser who ever lived, Solomon. God cares that much for us. He will make sure they don't spin, they don't sow, you do. What will God do through you? You see, this is the thought here. It's His kingdom. He wants people in His kingdom to be seeking Him first. We can expand this to financial situations. We can worry about our finances. Will that change anything? Can I tell you what will change your finances? I'm asking. I want permission. who said that? Let me talk to you then. Here's how you change your finances. Worrying about it won't change it, so what must change it? Seeking first the kingdom. If every answer that you'll ever need in life is to seek first the kingdom. Now, here's what happens when you seek first the kingdom concerning your finances, concerning things that you want. You do what the king said about your finances. And then when things get tough, when things get slow in your life, when there's no real money to handle, here's what you're able to do. You said, I gave my tithes, and the Bible says that if I give my tithes, then God will open up the windows of heaven and He will pour me out a blessing that I'll not have room to receive. You're able to do that, you see, because you've sought first the kingdom. God says that if I give alms in secret, that He will what? Reward me openly. And you can't do that if you're not doing it. You're not seeking first the kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom of God is doing what the king said to do. I got to be able to say, it is God's will that I prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. And I've got to be able to know what the Bible says, and I've got to be able to speak the Bible to that problem, to that worry, and therefore I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, and God's going to add everything that I need to my life. It's that easy. It's not hokey pokey. It's not weird. You do what the king says to do, and you're blessed. I have someone who one day is going to give a testimony concerning this. We're tithers, raised in a home for tithing. We're taught tithing, taught giving to the Lord all the time. And as they grew up, and this person got tied in money. So, of course, the Lord's calf died. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what, the Lord's calf died. I told you that story a couple of times. I'm not going to tell it again. But anyway, what happens is that when money gets tight, we stop tithing. Am I right? Come on. That's kind of what the Lord's calf dies. This person stopped tithing and thought that would fix their monetary problem. Just kept worrying about it. Do you think that fixed it? Didn't fix it a bit. In fact, things got worse. Worser. They got worser. Things became more indebted. Finally, a light bulb came on. Said, you know what? I wasn't this bad. You know, remember the guy, prodigal son? He woke up one day, a light bulb came on, and he said, man, he said, it was better than this at my father's house. You know, I'm going to go back home. Well, that's what happened to this person. They went back home. They began tithing again. Now, they began to speak to this problem, began to seek first the kingdom, and now they're in better financial condition than they've been in a long, long time. I want you to hear that. If you'll seek first the kingdom, the answers are in the kingdom. And seeking first the kingdom is doing what the king says to do. It's not difficult. So if I want this to happen in my life, then that's what I have to do. I have to seek first the kingdom. I have to give. And it shall be given to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Is that what the Bible says? That's what the Bible says. Windows of heaven must be open to me. And I want my blessing. I'm laying treasures up in heaven. And if I'm doing that, then God's going to provide everything that I need. Now, Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith?" Question mark. That's a question. In other words, where is your faith? Do you not believe God? Do you not believe God's word? Oh, you have little faith? Do you not believe that what God said would happen will happen? You must not, he says. You'd rather worry than take care of it. Oh, you have little faith? Where is your faith thinking and knowing that God really cares about you? Oh, you have little faith? You see, God wants us to know, Jesus wants us to know, that the solutions and the things that we worry about that so consume us stop us from entering His kingdom, and it's impossible to function in the kingdom when we're all consumed with worry. But in reality, every answer that we need, every solution that we'll ever want is within that kingdom. Worry places the believer in the same category as an unbeliever. Did you know that? Look what he says, Matthew 6:31. So do not worry, saying, what shall you eat? Well, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans, the lost. Where's your faith? For the pagans, the lost, run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows what you need, that you need them. Does He know we need these things? Does He know we need clothes? Does He know we need food? Does He know we need nice things? I need nice things. I need a big truck. You know, with me. I need a big house. I need nice clothes. Yeah, I do. I like to look nice. And I work hard at it. I spend a lot of money on it. I do. It takes a lot of money to get me there, or wherever that I get to towards there. See, the answer is seeking the kingdom. He knows we need these things. He knows we need them. And the answer is here in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Doing what He said, righteousness. And all these things, what? Food, clothes, things you need, things you want, your health. What is it that's bothering you? What is it that's worrying? You're sick in your body? Then seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Everything you need will be given to you as well. See, the answer is in the kingdom. Answer is in the kingdom. Now, I'm not going to get on my soapbox here. I could, but I'm not. But how can we seek a kingdom if it's not yet come? Excuse me. You see, I'm not going to get into this really deep. I am just going to touch it, make you think. You see, we're still waiting on some goofy 7-year tribulation. We're still waiting on some crazy doctrine. And we're missing the kingdom. Would it not be silly for Jesus to tell us to seek the kingdom if it was not accessible? It's like, you know, dangling the carrot in front of a horse. Or something. Is that how that's said? You know, you tease something. You dangle it out there in front of them. They really can't have it. See, there is a kingdom. And we can enjoy it. We can seek it. We can enter it right now. And what stops us is treasures on the earth. What stops us is worrying about those treasures. And we can't enter the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. And you won't have to worry about all these other things, Jesus said. I like that. I like that. You see, in the kingdom are good eats, are nice clothes, nice cars, nice houses, health. In the kingdom is where all of these things. Jesus says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. See, there are abundance in the kingdom. Outside of the kingdom, you know, it's the desert. You've got to cross the Jordan and go into the land of promise. We got to get into that place where there's land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's there. It's waiting on us. We just got to learn how to get in there. And it's easy. The key is doing the righteousness, doing what the king said to do. And if we do that, there's good eats, there's health, there's all these wonderful things in this kingdom. In Deuteronomy 28:2, it says this, and all these blessings shall come on thee. And what? Overtake you. Listen, I really want you to see this. It's not that you're chasing the blessings. When you're really seeking first the kingdom, he says, I'll add these things to your life. When you're really seeking first the kingdom, the blessings catch you. They overtake you. I know you don't believe me, but it's true. They really, really do. You give and men give to you. It's amazing. Whatever you need, manna falls from heaven. Come on. Your refrigerator runs for 40 years. I'm telling you, these things really do happen. I've got a car out there that's got 134,000 miles on it. It has never had a spark plug changed. I am not making that up. That's the truth. Blessings overtake you. I'm telling you. And you've got to seek the kingdom. When you do, it just catches you. And they come and they overtake you, it says. If thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That is seeking the kingdom. Hearken to his voice. Do what the king says to do. And you read on in that passage in Deuteronomy. It says you're blessed in the city. If you live in the city, you're blessed. Or if you live in the country, you're blessed. If you got kids, they'll be blessed. If you got cats and dogs and horses and pigs, they'll be blessed. Whatever you've got, it's blessed. If you got a car, it'll be blessed. If you got a truck, you got a tractor, it'll be whatever you got, it's blessed. Blessings just overtake you. Is that good? And it doesn't stop there. He says, when your enemies rise up against you, I'll bring them down before your eyes. That's what he said. It's not that you won't have enemies. But when they rise up, he'll bring them down. If you're seeking first the kingdom, wherever you go, you're blessed. You got the favor of people upon you. This Deuteronomy 2 tells us all about that. Deuteronomy 28 tells you all this stuff. Verse 2 starts at 2. And it tells you all this stuff that happens in your life. If you'll just hearken unto the Lord, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, then these blessings just come and overtake you. They catch up you. Is that good? Yeah. Enemies rise up. He'll bring them down. And then here's what the Lord says in this passage. He says, I will command a blessing to come on you. Did you hear that? He said, I'll command your life to be blessed. See, the key is not worrying. The key is seeking first the kingdom. The key is knowing that in the kingdom are all the answers. Because when I'm in the kingdom, when I'm really seeking the kingdom, I'm doing what the king said to do. And if I do what the king says to do, he'll command on me a blessing. Worry stops our blessings. Worry keeps us out of the kingdom. That's why Jesus wants us so desperately to get this. But seek first the kingdom. Before you worry, first seek the kingdom. Before you let this get on you, seek first the kingdom. Some of you are worried about your health right now. Right now, some of you are worried. I know you are. Some of you are worried about your health. I want you to stop worrying and start seeking the kingdom. I want you to start doing what the Bible says to do. Now, Laban was concerning his health. And he went to the man of God. And the man of God told him, go dunk 7 times in the Jordan River. And he got healed of leprosy. God hasn't forgotten how to do that. I don't care what's going on in your life, in your physical body. God will heal you if you're seeking first the kingdom. Keep pressing. Keep coming. Every time you get an opportunity to get prayed for, you get prayed for. You come down. That's what I like about some of you. Some of you just every time say there's an opportunity to pray. We were in here several weeks ago. Ralph Martin was up here praying for our church and all this stuff. And we were up here praying. I think it was for Josh at that time. And I saw Deland just start easing in. Here goes Deland. She's easing in. I'm looking at her. I said, I thought she wanted to get in there and pray for Josh. She didn't want to get in there and pray for Josh. She wanted to get in there and get prayed for. Come on. You see, because she's seeking the kingdom. And she's wanting to get her healing. And that's how it happens, people. You know, dunk seven times. It doesn't matter. Some of you are worrying about your finances. Well, listen, do what Jacob did. Lift up your eyes. Remember I told you that story just a couple of weeks ago? Lift up your eyes, and God will show you how to take sticks and peel them and get wealthy. Stop worrying about it and seek the kingdom. God will show you what to do. Some of you are worried about your kids. There's a story in the Bible about a woman who had a daughter who the Bible says was vexed with the devil. What does that mean? That means she was giving her mama a bad time. Any mamas here got a daughter that's vexed with the devil? You weren't going to tell me, I know. But could be giving you a bad time. I mean, just freaking you out. Do you know she didn't bring her to have an exorcism? She didn't take her to church and make the preacher cast the devil out of her or anything. Jesus said, you show me a lot of faith. You know, you go home and your daughter's going to be fine. I want you to hear that. Listen, if your kids are goofing up and causing you all sorts of vexation, if you'll seek the kingdom, if you'll seek the king, if you'll press in, until you get him to move on you and move on your family, he'll do you like he did Noah, like we talked last week. He'll do you like he did Noah. He'll show you how to build an ark that you can get your whole family in. It'll bring the salvation into your home. Stop worrying. Some of you are worried about your goofy spouse. You are. I don't know why you worry about the old buzzard. I don't know why you worry. Why? Seek first the kingdom. And start doing what the Bible says to do. You start speaking to that thing. You said, he's a good man. He's a man of God. Or she's a woman of God. You start speaking to it. He loves me. He wants to be with me. He is going to take care of me. He is going to be a man of God. And he's going to lead our whole home into the kingdom of heaven. So you start speaking that thing. And you'll start seeing it differently. All of a sudden heaven will open up to you. And you'll be able to do like Jacob. Lift up your eyes and see something happening. See, it's got to begin. You've got to begin. And once you begin, then it's going to take place. Some of you are worried about this or you're worried about that. Stop worrying, Jesus says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, seek the kingdom. If you'll seek the kingdom, he'll say, I'll give you everything you need. Matthew 6:34, after Jesus has said, seek first the kingdom, he says this. Therefore, after I've said all of this, therefore, and get this one, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And everybody said, that's the truth. That's right. Jesus, you told the truth this time. That's interesting, isn't it? You see, he tells us how we're wired. He tells us how we're created. How the wires hook up in there. You see, we're not created to worry. We're not created to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is the future. Let me give it to you this way. People who are suicidal or have committed suicide, they weren't contemplating suicide because of the events of today. They were committing suicide or contemplating suicide because of the events of tomorrow. Because we're not capable. We'd all go wacko if we had to figure it all out today for the future. We're not wired that way. We're incapable of figuring all that out. But we are capable of handling today. You can handle today. You can make today. You get through today, and then tomorrow will become today. And if that's true, then what you're able to do then tomorrow is handle today. Huh? And you never let the tomorrow consume you and stop you from entering His kingdom. You deal with today. Don't, you are not wired. Nobody can handle that. Nobody can, if and a lot of the stuff that you're worrying about is not even going to happen. Am I right? Just deal with today. Jesus says, man, that's the secret of life. Deal with today. And when tomorrow gets here, worry about tomorrow today. Did I say that right? You got it. No matter how I say it, as long as you understand it. When tomorrow becomes today, then deal with it. Right? But if we're always trying to figure out the future, we'll drive ourselves crazy. We'll all want to put a gun to our heads and pull the trigger. But if we'll just deal with today, we can all handle today. You can handle today. Can you handle today? Yeah. So stop worrying about tomorrow. And that's the simplicity of it. Instead of worrying, spend a day seeking the kingdom. Spend a day doing things the King's way. Spend a day seeking Him, speaking to your problems, speaking to your mountains, commanding that sickness to get off of you, commanding your finances to align, commanding, speaking to that system that's coming against you at work. Speak to it. You speak to it. You've got to learn how to operate in faith. Jesus says faith is all about seeing and speaking. You've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to speak it. You've got to be able to speak the Word of God to it. If you'll stand on the Word of God, then He'll take you places that you don't think even exist. He says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for us, but, help me, He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. You see, you got to come into the kingdom, into the spirit dimension. You got to be born again of the Spirit. You got to be born of water and spirit to enter into this kingdom of heaven. And once you're there, then things open up to you. And you have a life that's abundant. And you begin to speak to things and they obey. You begin to experience things that you didn't think was possible to experience. You begin to have an abundance in your life and a health in your life. You begin to enjoy life. See, worry doesn't bring life. Worry brings death. Worry shortens life. The kingdom of God is where life really is. And if we'll seek that kingdom, then we can have everything that we want. He says, I will add to you all these things. So, how are you? I want you to know that. I want you to know that worrying is not the kingdom. And if something's causing you to worry, then stop worrying and find out what God has to say about it and speak God's word to it. Stop worrying and seek the kingdom first. And God will supernaturally move on your behalf and deliver you from anything that's oppressing you and bring you into a life that's abundant and fun. You believe that? Do you believe that? Give the Lord a hand if you believe it.